We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, continuing to study the church as Christ meant it to be. I think a lot of our churches today are just not as Christ meant them to be. I'm going to explain it this way. I often get a call from somebody and I'll say, you know, so-and-so is in the hospital. And I said, who is that? I don't know who that is, but I'll be going to visit them. I'm glad to go see them. And they say, well, that person is a member of the church. I go, really? I don't know who that person is. I've never met them, never seen them, don't know who they are. But because we're on a man-made roll, they're a member of the church. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 tonight, and we're going to see that that is not God's vision of the church. The vision of the church is a body of people coming together, and every member, every person who is a member has a function. And everybody works together for the glory of God. Amen. And it works together under the direction of God. Now, that doesn't mean I won't go and visit some people who are in the hospital that I've never met. I always rejoice in doing that. And I like to meet people that I've never met before. But I always ask them, whenever I see them, why don't you come to church? Because I think you lose a lot of what God meant it to be if you don't come to church. Amen. You see, the power of the church is in the people coming together and sharing of their gifts. The power of the church is when God's people come together and do things together. And we're going to see that tonight. The Holy Spirit works in the body of the church. And as he talks in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 12, and if you don't have your Bible, then you've got a pew Bible, you can look that up, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at some other passages, but let's start out by reading 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12 responsibly. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12, it says, for to one is given
by the Spirit
the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge,
by the same Spirit,
to another faith,
by the same Spirit,
to another the gifts of healing,
by the same Spirit,
to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues.
But all these work at one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
I want you to notice that the same Spirit manifests the gifts in the body. And that's where the spiritual gifts always will be manifested. It's when the body comes together and it does the things that God wants them to do. I think a lot of people miss the power of the church. Because when you come together as believers, God's power is manifested. When you come together, you know, I have a lot of people that say, you know, I've had a bad week, I just didn't want to get up and go to church. Well, you know, when I have a bad week, I want to get up and go to church. I want to come into the church, and I want the other members to gather around me. And one of the things that we see in this text is everybody has different gifts, but no one person has all the gifts. I have people who tell me, they say, well, I can worship God out in the woods with a fishing pole and a bucket of worms. And I tell you, you can't, because the Bible says the Spirit works inside the body. And when the body comes together and it functions as a whole and the members come together in love, and by the way, I'm going to preach on love this Sunday morning, 1 Corinthians 13. When the members come together in love one for another, lifting one another up, praying for one another, God's Holy Spirit is released in that crowd. And that's where the blessing is. That's where the power is. That's what helps us. You know, we're in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and God is always faithful. Did y'all know that?
Amen.
God's never failed. But he goes on to say this. He says in Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The reason we come together as a church is to stir up love and good works, to work together to do the work that Christ has given us to do, a work that no one person can do, but all the members working together can do. Amen. The same Spirit working in those members. And he tells us this in Hebrews 10:25. We are not to forsake The assembling together of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to encourage one another. So I want you to start tonight by encouraging somebody near you. I know there's some gaps, but look at the person next to you, not just your wife, but look behind you and say, I'm glad to see you. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. Part of holding fast the confession of our faith is to come together and to do the things that God wants us to do together. As we gather together, I'm reminded of this, that Jesus Christ, now Jesus is God. Y'all know that, don't you? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. What did Jesus do before he ever ministered? The very first thing he did was he was baptized. Amen. Isn't that what we tell each and every member of the church you got to have? You got to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus was baptized. Amen. What's the second thing that Jesus did when he went out to minister? Now this is God in the flesh. This is the one by whom all things consist, we're told in Colossians. This is the one who spoke the worlds into existence. He is the one who set the sun in the sky. Our Jesus is the one who made everything. And yet the first thing he did before he did any ministry was he called disciples to follow him.
Amen.
And see, if God needed other people, then we need other people.
Amen.
For someone to say, I can do it on my own, you're much more arrogant than God ever hoped to be. You need one another. I need you. And you need me. Well, that sounds like a Barney song, don't it? Think about it. The Purple Dinosaur. I need you, you need me. Y'all never heard that?
I love you,
you love me. You've probably heard a lot of that, haven't you, Barney, today? Is he still around?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
I think my oldest son killed
him. He was a dinosaur. He's extinct.
He's extinct now.
Yeah.
But that's what the Bible teaches. It says all the members work together. Look at verses 8 through 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And he goes through all the gifts, the word of knowledge. You see, wisdom without knowledge is useless. And knowledge without wisdom is useless. Mm-hmm. So you have to have them together. And some people may be wise, but if you've got the word, see, wisdom is the application of knowledge. But if you don't have knowledge, how do you apply it?
Amen.
You can't. So to one, it says, God gives the word of wisdom. To another, he gives the word of knowledge. Do y'all ever notice when you're sitting in a Sunday school class and you're talking together, sometimes people will bring up other things and it'll fit in with the lesson. Have you ever noticed that, Miss Ruby, Jimmy, where the people will bring that up? When God is in the house, everybody works together toward a common goal, which is to glorify God, to magnify his name, to lift him up, and to present to the world a picture of what heaven will be one day. You know, I can only imagine what some people think heaven's going to be about. Some people think when they get to heaven, they're going to go to a little mansion up there, and they're going to find their wife or their loved one who went before, and all their kids, and they're all going to be in that little mansion, and they may go to worship on Sunday. And that's what they think it's going to be. But heaven's not that way. In heaven, there's no marriage nor giving in marriage. And when you come together in heaven, you're going to come together as one group of members under the glorious power of God. You're going to be in that place, empowered by God, saved by God, forever walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And whenever that happens, there's not going to be any sickness or pain.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times I find myself, have y'all ever just had blood days? You have bad days? Y'all ever have that? And I have a bad day, and I go, I don't feel like going to church. Y'all ever been like that? I don't feel like going to church. This is a trick question because the preacher's going to trick me on this. I'm not trying to trick you, but be honest. There's times when you just don't feel like it, and there's times when I don't feel like it. But when I come into the house of God and I see my brothers and sisters, and God the Holy Spirit releases power, suddenly I don't feel as bad. My legs that hurt don't hurt anymore. My feet don't hurt like they used to. They may hurt later on in that day, but they don't. My spirit is lifted up when I see the smile of members in the church. As people work together and I see people pulling together for the glory of God, it begins to bless me.
Amen.
So as you come together as a body, working together as a body, God blesses you. And that's what the point of this text is. He says that many gifts are given to different people. And he talks about it. He says gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, preaching, discerning of spirits, many types of tongues and interpretations of tongues. But he tells us in verses 13 and 14, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want to talk about Spirit baptism now. There's four things that the Holy Spirit does to you at the point of salvation. The first thing the Holy Spirit causes is you're caused to be born again by the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you know a lot of stuff. But he said, I tell you this. He said, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, when you accept the gospel of Christ, causes you to be born again. You change from the child of the devil to the child of light. You move from one kingdom to another. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The second thing the Holy Spirit does to you is he indwells you. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why every Christian can have a spiritual gift.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And a spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what it is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and you're not your own. You were bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ bought you. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God moves into the residence of your body. He begins to operate in you. The third thing the Holy Spirit does for you is he seals you. The sealing of the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom after having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God goes, that's mine. It's great. Y'all ever seen Great A Meat? God says, that was mine right there. He put his stamp on Jerry that day. He put his stamp on Ruby. I hate when I start calling names because I'll miss somebody. He put his stamp on Frank, on Shirley, on Peggy. When you were saved, God put his stamp on you and he says, amen, you are sealed. You're marked. And one day you're going to be in my glorious heaven. He said, you're on a destiny now where one day it's not going to end. One day you're going to have that eternal life and you're going to be in glory with me. That's the sealing of the Spirit. But that fourth thing the Holy Spirit does is he baptizes you. You're baptized in water as an outward expression of your salvation. But God the Holy Spirit baptizes you. I want you to notice the text says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit baptizes you. He makes you one with the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit puts you in a union with other believers. And it tells you in the text that you have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Pentecostals tell you that you need to seek the baptism of the Spirit as a separate blessing from God. Nowhere in the Scripture are you told to seek the baptism of the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit baptizes you at the point of salvation. And you're brought into the body of Christ by him. Charles Stanley said this, every believer has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Baptism symbolizes our identification with the body of Christ. Being baptized into one body is being placed into the body, which happens at the moment of salvation.
Amen.
Dr. Billy Graham wrote in his book, The Holy Spirit, in my study of the Scriptures through the years, I've become convinced there is only one baptism with the Spirit in the life of every believer. And that takes place at the moment of conversion.
Amen.
Beloved, you have been baptized in his body. God has done all these works in you. And God wants you to find your spiritual gift and use that gift for his glory.
Amen.
Not for yourself. Not for yourself, but for him.
Amen.
You know, I've known preachers and I've known people stand up there and they'll say they're exercising the Spirit of God, but they're doing it so they can be seen of men. And that's Phariseeism. Jesus said, you need to be careful about being a Pharisee.
Amen.
He said, these Pharisees, they love to stand praying so everybody can look at them. And they pray these big long prayers and everybody looks at them and says, oh, aren't they holy? Jesus said, they have their reward. The spiritual gift God has given you is not just to benefit you, but it's to benefit those around you.
Amen.
And when God's church works the way God wants it to work, we don't have any want. God supplies the need through His church. The Holy Spirit does that. The Bible tells us that every member's together, walking together in newness of life. In verses 15 through 18, he says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him.
Amen.
There is no little spiritual gift, regardless as to what it is. I remember years ago, y'all excuse me, I remember years ago, another church I was at, we had a man who was a candy man. That's what his job was. The candy man kept a pocket of peppermints in his pocket. And this man, his name is Hubert Gilbert. He was 92 years old. He met people at the front door of the church. And when they walked in, if they weren't smiling, he'd smile at them. And he'd pull a piece of candy out of their pocket. And he'd say, put that in your mouth because you need a little sweetening up today. And they would all grin at him. And he'd welcome them to the church. He'd tell them where things were, where the restrooms were. And he was the candy man. He walked down the aisle and he'd shake people's hands and he'd give them a little piece of candy. And he would tell them he was glad to see them in the house of God.
Amen.
He did more to bless that church, I think, than anybody else because he felt that that was his gift. Amen. His gift was to be the candy man. You say, well, I don't see in the scripture where that's a gift. You know what a gift is? It's something that meets the needs of the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And God wants his people to meet the needs of the body of Christ. God says he sets the members of the body as he pleases him. And every gift's important. You know, when somebody doesn't do that gift and doesn't rise up and do what God tells them to do, the church loses a blessing. Everybody needs to ask themselves, God, what do you want me to do? What will please you? What will make you happy? And then do that gift. God will bless you real good. In verses 19 through 25, he says this, if they were all one member, where were the body? And he begins to talk about it. He says, the body is not all one eyeball. It's not all one hand. You know, when y'all look at y'all's bodies, if you were all one eyeball, you'd look like a freak, wouldn't you? And if you were all hands, you would look like a freak. And Paul is using an exaggeration here to get his point across. There's many members, he says in verse 20, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. He says, verse 24, God has tempered the body together and having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
I tell you this, and I know y'all know this, but a Sunday morning Christian will never walk in victory in this life. The once a month Christian will never be able to stand up when the trials of life hit. And we've all gone through trials of life. Amen. The one who is able to stand is the one who makes use of what God has given him, who makes use of the salvation that God has given him, and who is faithful to come and be a part of God's church. I think people shortchange themselves when they don't do that. I really do. Jesus told us this. He said it's better to give than to receive.
Amen.
And it always is. Because when you're willing to give, God the Holy Spirit will work for you. You know, he tells us at the last of this text, I'm going to end up in verses 26 through 31. Whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Your suffering does not decrease when you don't bring it to the church.
Sure.
You got to be part of the church. You got to bring the aches and the pains to the church. He says, when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And you're the body of Christ and members in particular. He ends up with this. He says, God set some in the church, and he goes through the different gifts. He speaks of apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helps, governments, speakers in tongues, interpreters in tongues. He goes through all these things. And then in verses 29 through 30, he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? And the answer he's looking for is this. No, not everybody does the same thing. But what everybody does is very, very important.
Amen.
It's important because God has given it to us. And he says in verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. What are the best gifts? The gifts that are pleasing to God.
Amen.
The gifts that magnify Jesus. The gifts that lift him up. So go out and tell others, let's get in church.
What did they tell someone that when I went to the bone drunk clinic yesterday and say, Jesus loves you?
That's right. See, that's what she does. That's her gift.
Yeah.
She's good at that too. I've walked with her through the Walmart. She'll tell everybody she passes Jesus loves you. Let's be faithful to her gift. Yeah. Faithful to her church. That's all the way we're going to be blessed. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Sunday morning we're going to look at love, what love actually is. I think the world desperately needs love. Desperately needs love. So we're going to talk about that Sunday morning. And Sunday night, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 20. God told Isaiah to preach naked for 3 years. I don't know what I'm going to say about that. I'm just glad God didn't ask me to preach naked for 3 years.
Amen.
Would y'all have paid attention if I preached naked for 3 years?
You thought that's where you were going.
Don't know. I don't think I'm going to go that way. But I'll tell you what God has put on my heart. He asked Isaiah to preach naked for 3 years, and Isaiah didn't argue with God. He just preached naked for 3 years. Jesus asked us to go out and tell others about him. And we're ashamed to do that.
Not me.
Which would you rather do? Preach naked for 3 years? Or tell others about Jesus? I'd rather tell others about Jesus. Because I want y'all to know, I don't want you to see me naked. Amen? And you don't want to see me naked.
Amen.
If y'all stand, we'll be dismissed. It was good to be in God's house tonight. Who did that last amen? Was that Bill? Bill, you get an honor of closeness in prayer.